I am having a major problem here. Everyone, we're starting the show, and I apologize because we are having some technical difficulties. So you're not hearing the beginning of the program, but I will get to it, and I'm going to do that right now. So be patient. Welcome to Usama Dakdak, Revealing the Truth About Islam. We're covering slavery in Islam.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. It is November the 5th. That is November the 5th in the year of our Lord 2022. We are short 3 days from the election, Saturday night before the Tuesday, the most important Tuesday, which I believe in the history of this country. Not just this election, even if the Republican has this huge red wave from now on, all we think is and you can lose America for good. So every election from now on is important. If the Republicans do not do a good job on that Tuesday, that means it was really the last election. So with me tonight, Christy Johnson from Mississippi, Brother Paul from New York, and hello to both of you.
Hello, thank you, Thomas. And hello, talking about the election, I heard some very interesting thoughts expressed about that. And this was someone within the ranks of the conservative Christians. So one of the reasons they're saying that Trump has not made clear if he would be running in 2024 is because they're still floating this possibility that if they take over the Congress, that a majority in the Congress can choose any Speaker of the House they want. Would they elect Donald Trump as a Speaker of the House? In which case, they would be prepared to go all the way to impeach Biden and Kamala Harris, which would put Trump in the White House as Speaker of the House. He's third. The Speaker of the House is third in line for the presidency.
Wow. I say, well, I did not know that.
That's been floating around for 2 years.
It has been, but the point I'm making is I heard this discussed less than 3 or 4 days ago.
So this can fit within the Constitution?
Oh, yeah.
Of the United
States? Yes, it can.
It's been a big discussion.
Well, it was
Biden took office,
2 years ago. It was a discussion, but now we're talking about somebody closer to the inside track with the MAGA movement who has discussed this. I was very surprised, Paul, to hear that coming at this time.
I have friends who have some insight, and I've been hearing this off and on for the last, since Biden took office.
Well, yeah. Well, like I said, I heard this 3 days ago from somebody within. The MAGA movement is closer to it. But that's God's, that's God's ability.
It actually could happen. It's actually constitutional. I had to go look it up myself and check it. Yeah.
It could happen.
It's entirely good.
But here's the thing. They said they wouldn't do it until a certain month because if it's done in a certain month, okay, after this next session starts, then Trump would not have fulfilled a second term until he would slip into that position. So it is being talked about. It is being talked about. But, only God can bring certain things to happen. And I have to tell you, the country and its spiritual warfare is so severe that there is no whether or not that would even be wise.
I think the Democrats becoming so unbelievable in their let me give you an example. Abortion. I remember in the days of Clinton, I was new in America, and the Democrats at these days were saying, "Well, women have the right to choose," but they never said that they are running for abortion. Literally, it was not that, like, you know how sin creep in our life,
yep,
and slowly grow and take, yep, over and control us completely.
Of course.
That's exactly. So a good 28 years ago, when Clinton was the president, the Democrats, some of them were for abortion, some were not for none. And so they were like somewhere in the middle. And those who were for abortion, if they just said it's between the doctor and the patient, we are not, they're not really coming in your face, because they tell me some of the independent boys so they can win the seat as a Democrat. Well, guess what? The sin of abortion grew up too much. So now I've been watching yesterday and today. They're in your face. And these are the same liberals who will free the rapist from the prison to go outside the prison in the same day of arrest or the following day or whatever, so they can rape some women. So they're not really for women. They're
for
the
women
who are going to rape the women. But at the same time, they're for the women to kill the baby, which come out of prison. And they're using that as an excuse. Of course, I know few cases of women who are raped, and they're asking for abortion. Majority of this, they like to have good time in bed and they got pregnant.
Well, I'm not going to comment about women and why they may or may not be seeking an abortion. I will tell you that there are women who are being subjected to sexual abuse as being trafficked, young women, and the abortion clinics will be paid off by their traffickers to abort a baby from a young woman so that they cannot be prosecuted for rape, and because they don't want this child anyway. There are a lot of reasons that women are being subjected to abortion, but the point is we've made that legal and it's being used by Satan. And when we begin to repent and fight the spiritual war we're supposed to be in, we'll be shutting these doors to evil more than we have now. And it looks like Paul's asleep, but I know he's not asleep. Oh, Paul, are you okay?
Yeah.
I thought you froze asleep. Yeah.
Think about the Democratic Party. They are for literally all the illegal activity with the trafficking and sex trafficking. They have no problem for bringing these sick morally and mentally people to America. That's okay. They are for to not lock these rapists, because rape is not really a big crime in America. So even if they arrest some guy who raped somebody, maybe he'll be free the same day without bail in some of these liberal states. They are for killing the baby. It's like, where do you draw the line for what is wrong and what is right? And I'm amazed that some of these liberal women are sitting watching with my mother-in-law Fox News 3 days ago, 4 days ago, and then they were doing an interview with some women. And that lady, I guess she's in her late 60s, early 70s. Said, what is the most important thing for you? What's the most important topic concerning this election? She said, abortion, women's rights. I said, wait a minute, the lady in her 70s.
Yeah.
She's not going to see her to get pregnant to kill the baby. I mean, nobody would be interested to rape her. That's normally, the rapist will rape somebody young, attractive. Why is this the first thing in her head? Not the food on the table, not the gas on the car, not the safety or anything. None of the reason which makes sense, but she is going to vote for the Democrats.
But you saw, mate, you got to understand something. This is about my generation, that age. It is about them starting this baloney with the women's liberation movement. They started it. And what they want now is for this to be perpetuated on others, because they've lost their moral compass and their spiritual eyes so much are into darkness that they want this inflicted on all of the other women coming up. And I'll tell you, who are these people? They're the same people that supported Obama, Bernadine Dorn, and Bill Ayers. These people were part of that movement, and they are the ones that age supporting this stuff. And it's younger people that are not, because now we know it's like women that age, they were told an abortion was, removing some cells. It's just removing some cells. It's not a baby. But they didn't have the scientific ability to see a child in the womb and as it develops. And now younger women are seeing that. And they, the one thing a woman does not want is an ultrasound provided to a mother who's considering an abortion. They don't want that because they know their lies are going to be exposed when the mom sees that it isn't a bunch of cells, it's a baby. And that's why these older women are doing it. And I'll tell you, I believe it is a curse on that generation. I believed it when I was that age and I was watching it go on and I went, oh my God. And that's why I believe there was a spiritual revival at that time in the 70s in the United States of America. There was a spiritual revival among young people and there was a movement away from this craziness. But guess who's in their power now? All these women and all these evil people who were a part of that evil in the past, they're right back there in power now. I'm telling you, it's disgusting.
Now, I have to ask Paul a question. These numbers we see on TV, 47, 47 and a half or 48, who are the people who are doing these numbers? Because I did not believe in the last election in Virginia. In Virginia, they make it look like the liberals are going to win, and we know that about the election so bad.
I look at most of the things that they're doing as corrupt. Mm-hmm. And there a lot of the surveys are purposely corrupted. There's been studies done that show that you see studies done on statistics, but the people who are putting out the statistics are purposely calling in favor, like they're purposely calling Democrats.
They know where they're calling, the places where they made the phone call. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they purposely don't call, they actually look at how the stats are actually composed. So I don't trust them in general. So don't ever trust the stats when you see them. If they're pre-election, don't trust them. And I'd like to say be able to trust the election, but
you can't.
This week we've had a lot of election fraud caught, and it's made federal news. It's national news, I should say. So they're extensive. They're extensive election fraud caught this. We're talking about 250,000 ballots sent out to fraudulently in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Paul, you're exactly.
Did they cause the fraud, or what's happening?
In one state, they fired the assistant secretary of state because she has allowed ballots to go to. It was determined she allowed fraudulent ballots to go out to make-believe people due to the way they've changed the requirements. So you can claim yourself as a vet and you can get, all you have to do is put your name and a birthday and you can get a ballot sent to you. So there's no ID requirement, which violates everything else.
Here's my struggle, Paul. I look at these numbers and it looks like 47, 47, 48, 40, whatever numbers. It's very close in many of these Senate and governor's seats and even Congress as well, men and women. So it's like, wait a minute. This could be a trick. Because the red wave is supposed to be in the 50s to the early 40s, more 50s than 40s, and they do that. So if they cheat in these counties or in these states, we expect that.
That's what they're doing. If they predict that the Democrat Party will take control of an office and they predict it as a percentage, then trust me, that is what they're planning on cheating with. It's like the election in Brazil. It was a fraction. You see, they know there's so many people that are supporting on one side or the other. They can't make it be huge. We don't have these huge victories anymore like we did years ago. They want it to be don't know who's going to win. And you know what they're planning on doing.
On Tuesday night, all the votes and no one, and if they're going to go to another 3-4 days,
that's what they're saying they're going to do.
Pennsylvania.
They're saying they're going to take days.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Regarding the election, I want to share an article from about Los Angeles, and I'm putting it in the room. This should blow everybody's mind. If you know anybody living in the Los Angeles area, please share this article. It was written by Benjamin Baird. I know Benjamin. He's a great researcher. The title bothers me. Al-Qaeda linked lawyer could become next Los Angeles city attorney. This is about Faisal Gill, who is running for the L.A. city attorney. The front runner in Los Angeles city attorney's race is a former Republican operative who was deeply enmeshed in Islamic circles. Now a far left progressive attorney, Faisal Gill has been the subject of FBI surveillance and government security thanks to his ties to individuals involved with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups. Gill claims to be a changed man. His once conservative views on taxes, immigration, and marriage equality have evolved into a radically progressive platform that have cost him endorsements from mainstream Democrats in California. Although he may have transformed himself politically, Gill maintains connections to the same Islamic network that could have cost him a job with Department of Homeland Security nearly two decades ago. This guy, I have other stuff I can share on him. This is just scary stuff. So let me just share you. This is the other stuff I have. This guy is the former spokesman for the American Muslim Council. He's been, he's a former director of policy intelligence at Homeland Security. He held top security clearance and served in the DHS under George W. He was withheld his affiliation when he applied for these jobs with the American Muslim Foundation. So this would violate his ability. I mean, he would have had his security clearance revoked because of this. AMC's founder is Abdurrahman Alamoudi, who pled guilty in U.S. federal court to charges ranging from illegally receiving cash from Libyan sources, tax evasion, and attempted murder. And you also have to think about this guy, Alamoudi. He's been affiliated with him. He's been affiliated with Grover Norquist, the Global Relief Foundation. I mean, these are all affiliates of Al-Qaeda. not Norquist, but he's Muslim Brotherhood. But, I mean, it's just these are Global Relief Foundation financed Al-Qaeda. I mean, you just got to start looking at this stuff. And this is the guy they want to have running as a top candidate in Los Angeles. Something's wrong there.
That's what happens when you go to these liberal cities and liberal state movements, or those who affiliate with this jihad organization have a big chance to win. Then you take him to a small community of a conservative where everybody can investigate you. There's big crowd, just a name on a paper, and people sign for it. And if you go to Los Angeles or if you go to places all over this country with a large number of Muslim population, for sure you're going to have a good shot to win because Muslims will vote for you without second thought. So when you get all the Muslims and all the liberals, hey, you got a shot. You got a shot to win the seat. God help us. God help us. What else, Christy?
Oh, well, I had some articles, so it's a little bit... just give me a second, and I will tell you that I looked at several. One of them is that the UK Parliament has voted to criminalize praying outside abortion clinics on pain of possible imprisonment. And with a sentence of possibly 6 months in prison. If you go and pray at an abortion clinic. So just comparing this, I had an article that I saw on the news. I don't have the written article, but a Greek court sentenced a guy, a soccer player, to prison for saying that transgenderism was a sin, basically. That it was an abomination was his exact words. which is the words of the Bible, he has now been sentenced to prison.
I don't know if you guys have seen the videos of some of the presidents in Africa when CNN went and interviews him to ask them, what do they think of gay and lesbian and all these? Man, they're bold, so bold. And they said, the guy said, this is stupid. A president in Africa, I believe in Ghana or Nigeria, I can't remember where it's at, he said, this is very unacceptable, garbage.
Yeah.
And here in America, you want to see a politician say that. I challenge you, Christy Johnson, I challenge you, Paul, to find me one Republican who would say, gay and lesbian is stupid or abomination. We're becoming so coward, we're becoming so wicked, we become so weak, we become so politically correct that you will not say a word against Islam, you will not say a word against the A, B, L, T, G, T, M, C, O, F, X, Y, Z, and will not have any word against anybody who has some socialist or communist agenda because, hey, this is America. Every wrong is okay and every right is wrong.
Well, there are people that are speaking out against that, Usama. I know you're very busy and all, but I mean,
today, what's the name, Christy? Huh? What's the name of the senator?
Well, I'm trying to tell you, if you listen to some of the candidates that have been running, there are candidates that are speaking out against this. There was a guy who was at a school board reading from a textbook in the school system. This is a young guy. He's not a candidate, but he went to the school board to demand they remove these books from the library and stop promoting these books to children in elementary school.
And
so what I'm saying is because of will you let me explain?
Answer the question, yes or no. If you're running
for never mind. No, but the president is.
If you're running for a Congress seat, if you're running for a governor seat, if you're running for a mayor seat,
you
will never found one Republican in this country who will speak the truth without the garbage of political correctness.
Thank you. I do have a comment to answer what you're saying.
What I'm saying is simple. Our Republican Party is a bunch of cowards living with political correctness, and America will never turn around.
Well,
we're just going a little bit behind
okay,
the Democrats.
Well, there's not much point in me saying what I was going to say unless you wanted to say I'm lying or I'm stupid. And you can say that, but
yeah.
I'd like you to let me finish first.
What?
When people in the voting public are coming out, this is what I want the American people to understand. If you get out there and you speak your mind, trust me, the people who are running for office are going to catch on that they need to start following the will of the people. When they think the American public doesn't care, and they're wrong about that, American parents do care. American parents are fed up. And when they start speaking out, you'll get, hopefully, and pray for those people running for office the incentive to speak the truth. And many of these people who are running for office are speaking out about it because they were the parents at those meetings, and now they're running for office. No, they're not up there as congressmen, and they're not up there as Senate candidates, but they're running for local offices, and many of them are winning. That is what will change. The kind of people that run for office is when the American people stop being afraid to use their freedom of speech to tell the truth. That was my point.
So I will go back again to my original question. None of the Republican Congress, Senate, mayor, governors will ever say a word that is A, B, C, L, T, Z, X, Y, Z, or against Muslims, or against socialists, or communists, or anything to make an edge. You know why? Because the Republican who run for this office are looking for one more gay to vote for them. They're hoping for some Muslims to vote for them. Some black women.
I don't believe I know the mind of every person that's running for office, but Usama, you might be exactly right. But the point is, if that is what they're doing because they want one more Muslim or one more gay for them, how about if you have, like we had tonight at the Trump rally, thousands and thousands and thousands of people out there saying that isn't what they want. That is the attention that has to be brought to the American voter to demand what they want done and what they want to be the platform of the GOP. And that's where you change it. And you can't change it by calling the senator's office or the congressman's office, but you can change it by campaigning locally for what you want your values and the GOP agenda to be. That's where it has to be.
I'm going to share this picture right now. I'm going to see if I can grow it up a second. I think this fits. All right. Take a look. This is the, it's kind of big, too big. I got too big. Let's see if I can reduce it, just the hair.
I like.
Let me get it down just a hair. All right.
That's good.
This is the Democrat view of things. Free speech is a threat to them.
Exactly.
This is the old Biden view. And when the people stand up and start sharing things, I'm just going to put this in the chat room, this link. And, you know, this is by A.F. Branco, Antonio Branco. His work is outstanding, and it always seems to make me laugh. Reality put in a cartoon.
What I'm saying from experience in these social service agencies for over 25 years, they always try to shut people up so the conservatives keep quiet. They don't say anything because they don't want to rock the boat. That is where the problem is. You can't make a congressman or a senator stand a platform they think they're going to lose.
Let me give you a prediction, okay? If Muhammad Oz wins in Pennsylvania, just listen to me. I hope this is recorded. Save a copy on your laptop. If Muhammad Oz wins this election, in 2024, we're going to have 3 or 4 Muslim congressmen and senators winning in the Republican Party. Let me give you another prediction. If the Republican will not take a stand openly in the next election or two, 28, you're going to have some gay and lesbian running as Republican, and most likely they will win.
There's already gay and
so smart.
They're already
gay Republicans.
Yeah, but
I understand what you're saying, Usama. I'm not disputing what you're saying. What I'm saying is the solution is not who is going to be up there. It's what the people are going to demand. And if they don't demand these things, they won't happen. And why would they demand and not be afraid? For one thing, you stand up for what the Bible says. You stand up for the truth. You stand up for Jesus Christ. You stand up for the American way of life.
You got my next question, which I'm going to ask. How this country will be fixed? With Trump or Jesus Christ?
With Jesus, of course. But who put Jesus, who did Jesus put in office? I believe Jesus put Trump in office. And I know nobody else may believe that, but I do, because I spent years, and months praying and trying to wake up Christians that the solution was a spiritual one. And God did put Trump in office. I know this for one reason, how he brought Israel honor and how he established Jerusalem as the capital. That is what God wanted to happen.
But
now,
do you think Trump know fully the truth about Islam?
I don't know. But the point
absolutely is... Absolutely not. He is like the rest of the America.
Okay, but Usama, I don't know what's in his head. What? I'm sorry, Paul.
He read my book before he took office.
He had the Quran, by the way. He had my translation of the Quran.
No.
Was given to him by hand by Brother Eric. I have the picture to show you. We have
my
Quran in his
hand.
But
my understanding is that he's one of those guys that reads everything. So I wouldn't have a problem believing it.
Do you think that Trump got in office and everybody around him supported everything that you choose? Of course not. That's what Trump did not know. And I'll tell you, somebody who died that was trying to warn him, and he wrote a book called, what was the book? Do you know what I'm talking about? The Warning or...
Bill Haney.
Huh?
Phil Haney's book.
No, no, it was, I'm not saying Phil Haney didn't write the book. There was a guy in the office in the White House who warned him with a memo of what the Muslims were going to do. And you know who stopped it? One of those evil generals fired him. Would not allow that memo to get to Trump. So I'm going to tell you, there are a lot of people, but I hope and pray, and it doesn't matter whether or not Trump gets in. It's what will God do to bring our country back. But if he does get in, he needs to be wise about who's around him. And we need to pray that God will raise up godly people to be around him, to be around anybody that's in the White House, even Biden, if that's Biden in the White House, which I'm not sure.
Okay. The one thing Trump does not do when he was in the White House, I regret that very much, and I said that many times, acknowledgement that the Muslim Brotherhood is a jihadi organization. And this was an advice given to him by my president in Egypt, Al-Sisi. He acknowledged, he said, the Muslim Brotherhood is a jihadi terrorist organization, and he asked Trump to do it, and Trump refused to do it. Because the stupid garbage Democrat will use it against him. He has made a statement, Islam hates us.
Yes,
boy,
he said that.
Boy, the reaction of it was so unbelievable. They were actually up to find a big tree in the White House ground in the backyard, north or east place, so you hang a rope from it and go ahead and hang Mr. Trump.
Well,
so he said a statement of truth.
I know.
So
that's actually factual information.
Yes.
He said, I think Islam hates us, and you know, people were upset because they don't know that Islam.
They don't understand
the Quran,
Islam. Exactly.
It states in the series that it hates us. Yes, it does.
And see, that's a problem that you have when you are putting, and the American people. I honestly believe when Trump got elected, the American people went to sleep. Oh, good, we got Trump. Everything's good. The economy's good. Gas is cheap. Wow. Jobs are exploding. The stock market's way up. Everything's great. And that's when the Christians, as well as the other Americans, went to sleep, and they didn't realize what you and I know is that there is always evil working in the background. Anytime you have people who were set free by God and people who, you know, acknowledge or claim a relationship with the Lord, then guess what happens? There's an enemy, and that's been working for many years behind the scenes, many, many years. It didn't just start with Obama or even George Bush.
The devil's
been going on for a long time.
That's right. The devil has always been on the work, especially when something goes in the right direction, the devil works twice as hard.
That's right.
The move. All right. Paul. What's your next article?
One last article for me. Well, I guess a couple, but German. This is, I'm going to put it into the chat room first. It ties into a lot of the stuff that you have presented on textbooks.
Yeah.
So it's German CEO behind Kendi and D'Angelo Funds, critical race theory pushed into schools. The world's largest publisher goes to war against American parents. Behind Ibram X. Kendi's racist tract, How to Be an Anti-Racist, is a German publishing giant with a Nazi past. Kendi's books have been published by Penguin Random House, which after a merger overseen by Bertelsmann, executive Marcus Dole, and despite antitrust challenges from the Justice Department, became the world's largest publisher under CEO Dole. Think about that. The guys who are putting out the CRT material are now financed by Nazis.
Yeah.
I love it how this Democrat congressman is describing the conservative movement in America, MAGA and the Republican, to be Nazis. He really did that.
Yeah, so this is where we can throw it back in their face. Well, so your publisher of, you know, Kendi's book is the guy who publishes a book called the Christmas book of the Hitler Youth. He puts, I mean, these are racist tracks they put out. You can start looking at this stuff. I mean, it's, you have to start thinking. I mean, this is a tech, they finance textbooks. What are they doing to our textbooks? And that kind of ties into
which means, here is the truth. If you have it in textbooks today, that means that is the belief of the generation in America. Give me your children, I'll change your country. That's exactly what they're doing. They know the best way. And these people have all the time on their watch. Like Muslims, they have all the time on their watch. We think 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. That's how far we go. A senate or a president or a congress. That's it. Or some governor within these years. Muslims think, well, the next generation or the next two generations or the next four generations. If I could not do it, my great-grandson for sure will finish it.
So sure. I do want to share one more that has to do with textbooks, which is
sure.
in the chat room. This is from Israel. In a physics text, Palestinian students are now being asked to calculate the distance a terrorist murderer traveled to commit his next deep terror attack. Terrorist Uday al-Tamimi murdered 18-year-old female Israeli soldier Sergeant Noah Lazar and wounded an Israeli security guard in a shooting attack in northern Jerusalem last month. 10 days later, he attacked again, wounding another Israeli security guard in Ma'al Adumim, a suburb of Jerusalem, before being shot and killed by guards in the ensuing exchange of fire. Because of his attacks, Al-Tamimi, who has already been featured in a question on a physics test in Palestinian schools, students were asked to calculate the path of the martyr from his home to his last attack. They actually have a copy of this work. And you can see that on this site. I love PowWatch because they catch stuff like this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just disgusting. That
what do you think? What do you think, Israel? Yeah, I believe you. It's sick, man. What do you think, Christy, of the new prime minister of Israel?
Benjamin Netanyahu coming back, I think, will be a good thing.
I think it's going to be a good thing for Israel.
Yes.
And they'll put conservatives into the parliament or the government.
Yeah. We need to be praying for Israel for this.
Normally their election is every how many years?
Well, it's been a really crazy, kind of like what we've been seeing in Britain. It's been, you know, changing. But usually I think it's like, 4 years or 6 years? Not every year, but see, they can't get a majority in the their parliament, then they have to vote again for leadership. That's what's been happening over there. There's been a lot of debate.
He's been prime minister many times in the past.
Yes, but he's not limited. He can come back.
Well, I guess. Well, any other news about anything, guys?
Well, I had a couple things. This was an article dated on November the 2nd stating that Iran has ordered attacks against targets in Saudi Arabia and United States forces, prompting both nations to be on high alert, several sources said Tuesday. Saudi intelligence shared with Washington suggested that besides hitting Saudi sites, Iran also plans to strike the city of Erbil in neighboring Iraq, where U.S. troops are located. Anyway, this is an emboldening, again, of Iranian leadership, and they're angry about a lot of things that are going on right now. You know, the Biden administration was being very accommodating to them, and then all of a sudden it was looking bad politically, and they're kind of pulling back on some of the things that they were saying in support of Iran, and so now we're getting this kind of heated up conflict coming again.
What did the United States do to the Iranian when they held the war in Ukraine for Russia?
Well, that's a problem.
Look at the other side. Look at the other way. Pretend like nothing is happening.
Of course. But there's a whole thing. The nuclear deal that prompted the Biden administration to set aside efforts to resurrect the Iranian nuclear deal. see, which then President Donald Trump abandoned in 2018. So, see, Biden was supposed to go along and do that. And now they're backing off of it. And so what are we seeing? We're seeing, we're seeing that Iran is an enemy. And yep. Now Saudi Arabia is worried about it, because that was the other thing. We had kind of a little bit of a balance going on there in the Middle East. And, of course, the Democrats never want that. They want, you know, their crazy politics has been overthrow all the dictators so we can get some Muslim leadership that will be instituting Islamic law or Sharia. And God only knows. They've already got their problems in Iran, and Iran is probably trying to distract because of all the protests against the government there right now. So this would be a great way to distract.
Well, you know what's just said? Every time there's a revolution in Iran, it is in the wrong time in America. They could not do that when Trump was in power. They did it when Obama was in power, and they do it when Biden is in power.
Right.
You might as well shoot your head with a bullet, because that's what they're doing. They're committing suicide against the strong dictator regime. These are Ayatollah Khomeini, for heaven's sake. Why can't they do it at the right time when they can get support from America? Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think it depends on what's going on in their country, and I don't think they expect to get a lot of support from the United States recently. Your friend Annie Cyrus has spoken a lot about this, very concerned about what's going on, but the United States, I think, from the terms of the Middle East, where they have dictators, okay, they have, like, see things rolling in a direction for a number of years. Here, like you said, it's every 4 years we got a big change, or every 2 years we've got a big change, and the inconsistency of our policy is leading us into a lot of trouble, I think.
We'll get to break.
One more real quick. The Hungary's premier was given an award for supporting persecuted Christians. And I just thought that was kind of interesting, because Hungary's controversial Prime Minister Viktor Orban has received an Armenian Church Award for supporting persecuted Christians. He received the Holy Cross Medallion of Gratitude from Patriarch Raphael Bedros Minasian, the 12th, the head of the Armenian Catholic Church. Anyway, it's nice to know that he agreed to accept it. God only knows, if somebody was getting an award like that in America, they'd probably be afraid to accept it, that it was racist or something. I'm sad to say.
All right. This is good.
Last thing. I bring this up because please be praying for the Christians in Uganda and the Muslims in Uganda. The evangelist has been attacked after leading Muslims to Christ and saying, we need your prayers all the time. Please be praying, because, you know, Usama, we literally had a close friend of ours, the pastor at the church where I go now, and he was just in Uganda about a month ago, and taking the tracts that you have about leading Muslims to Christ. He took several of them to Uganda, and now pastor that was there, who's in a Muslim community, was very appreciative of that material. And now we see the attack coming back, who are leading people to Christ out of the Muslim community. And they're being attacked now. That means they're being effective. So we need to pray for them and pray for the Muslims who are coming to faith in Christ.
Well, talking about these tracks, I'd love to share this quick commercial. It is 2 minutes to learn about these two tracks, the green and the red, the Straightway to Eternal Life. Sister Tammy helped to put it all together with all the verses, all the hard work, and also the violent truths about Islam, the red booklet. which was actually, I put it together with the encouragement of Brother Vic, who is, used to be the manager at BCY. He's now in heaven for some time. So this two small booklets, I think it's an important tool for each and every one of us to have, especially if you meet with the liberals or the Muslims who believe that, oh, Islam is love, Islam is peace. Just give them the red booklet. Or if you meet with a Muslim who's sincere about learning the truth about Christ and Christianity, the green booklet will be a great tool, which is the straight way to eternal life. So let's take this quick commercial here, and we'll be back to continue with our study, which is slavery and the history of the world and slavery in Islam. That's a comparison. And then we're going to look at what the Quran and the Hadith teaches about slavery. So let's be ready here for a couple minutes. We'll be back.
To help you in your ministry to the Muslim community. Our first booklet is titled The Straight Way to Eternal Life. How many times have you met a Muslim man or woman, maybe in an airport or on a bus or in your neighborhood, and you felt burdened to share the good news of Jesus Christ, but you didn't know what to say or even where to begin? We have produced a small, convenient tract that will empower you to reach those lost in the deception of Islam. This 24-page mini booklet will share three facts. First, it seeks to convince Muslims that the Bible has not been corrupted, using just the verses from the Quran. Secondly, it reveals convincing proof that the Quran cannot be the Word of God due to an overwhelming number of errors and contradictions. Finally, it clearly presents the loving truth of the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Our second new booklet addresses the violent nature of the core teachings of Islam. Muslims continually claim that Islam is a loving and peaceful religion. They also insist that violence is committed by only a few radicals who misunderstood Muhammad's teachings in the Quran. This new booklet, titled The Violent Truth About Islam, examines dozens of passages from the Quran, the Hadith, and Muslim scholars. This powerful booklet will leave no doubt that Islam's long history of intolerance and bloodshed arises from the very words of Allah and the example of Islam.
Welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this important Saturday. I believe I'm a little bit anxious, a little bit worried, which is sin. I confess it to you about Tuesday night. I don't know where we're going from here. Are we going to have a peaceful election night, or we're going to have fraud everywhere and deception and the work of the devil as Democrats will try to steal this election as they did a great job in our last election? And so we just have to pray, keep praying that somehow that those who are going to be in these places of election will be alert, they will be awake, they will not leave the room for any reason if they are those who are, what do you call, officers to watch the election. And
observers.
I hope that the Democrats will not, you know, cover windows with heavy paper or boxes or find good excuse to not counting the numbers of the ballots because they're going to look for these, you know, new boxes which somehow miraculously are going to disappear, is going to appear in the following couple of 3 days to get the victory number. My heart desire, if the Lord gave us a victory and we have these red waves, we must go back to a piece of paper and you sign and you fill and you choose whatever you choose and that paper will be counted on the same night. Now, if you're sick or old or you don't have a driver license or you don't vote, maybe you go to some other country. If you're a black African-American and somehow you believe the lies of your garbage Democrat and tell you you should not vote by ID because you don't have an ID, go to Africa. Go back to Africa. I will pay your flight one way to Africa. And so the rest of the American people will do that. Anybody in America does not want to do it the constitutional way, the right election that we have done it in this country for 240 years, maybe these people need to leave. Find somewhere else. You can go to Canada, go to Europe. There's a lot of liberal social comments. Go to Venezuela. It's a good place for you to live. But here in America, we need to change it to what used to be so we stop the garbage of lies and stealing elections. This is just, you get something out of my chest. So pray for me that I don't know who crazy. I have a TV broadcast Monday evening with the Trinity Channel. ABN, and I hope that we have some good thoughts there, because it's just about the election. So lift a prayer for me that I'll not say something I'll regret on that Monday night.
If people want to watch the election and see conservatives discussing what's going on in the election, I would encourage you to go to Frank's Speech, which is Lindell TV. They're going to have some great people on there talking about the issues and following what's going on in the election. Mike Lindell, Pete Santilli, I do believe that we're going to have some other well-known people. Roger Stone will be on there. Rudy Giuliani, I believe, will be on there. These are people who were out there talking about election fraud in the 2020 election, and they will be on there watching what's going on. And there are more people, maybe some of them, what we know, who are well aware of what's happening, and they're not afraid to speak out about what's happening in the election.
Any other thoughts for the fall before we start our study?
No, I'm anxious to get into the study.
Amen. Here we go. Let's share the screen. And as we normally do, unless you read what is in the West, unless Christy read what is in Islam, the sound is not very loud. We stopped the last podcast on that slide, and that's where I'm picking up to continue with our study. Go ahead, Father.
Nearly 100 years after President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, making slavery illegal in America.
It was not until 1980 that some Muslim countries removed legalized slavery from their statutes. Today, many international organizations document that slavery still continues in some Muslim countries.
And we have to understand, they removed the legalized slavery. So you cannot go to Cairo in 1980 to the market in Cairo, Egypt, and buy a slave. You cannot do it. But that does not mean that they remove it from the Islamic belief and the Islamic teaching and the Islamic world, because it's still practiced today in the year 2022. No kidding. It's still practiced until today. So according to international laws, they make it illegal. But according to Sharia law, it is legal. Unless you have the power to go throughout the Quran and to go throughout the Hadith and take all the statements of Allah and Muhammad and the Muslim great thinkers out of their books, out of their life, out of their belief, then we can say, now we can get rid of slavery.
And there's one thing people forget. In a lot of these Islamic countries, their government constitution states that the government is subject to Sharia. That is the supreme law.
Well, they will tell you, exactly, you're right. Like in Egypt, we use French law if it does not go against Sharia, Islamic law. So it's like in Egypt, which is the top moderate Muslim country in the Muslim world, not because I'm Egyptian, because it's reality. We have more educated people in Egypt than the rest of the Muslim world, okay? Very, very moderate country. But the law that Egypt is French laws, as long as it does not go against Sharia, which means it's a little bit weird. And I know that the Muslim Brotherhood celebrated their dream come to truth, you know, their vision for 100 years come to pass with the help of Barack Hussein Obama. And sadly, they lost everything within a year. 12 months later, most of these senators and congressmen and whatever you want to call positions we have in Egypt, most of them were arrested or killed. That is the revolution which took place in Egypt a year after Barack Hussein Obama gave my country to the Muslim Brotherhood. And one change the Muslim Brotherhood tried to do in Egypt is actually just force Sharia in one step. So in one night they decided, okay, from now on, marriage for the age for marriage for girls is 9 years old. One time. And that's when the Muslim Egyptian who have some knowledge, some doctors, some lawyers, some people who have, they're not stupid in their head to be Muslims, you know. So they are Muslim in name only, if you want to say it that way. They rise up. And this is one of the things. They're going to force Sharia on the Christians. And they're going to do all the, they're going to go away with everything. And then you see some of the, what do you call, moderate Muslims. They're not moderate. Muslim Brotherhood mother. They said, we made a mistake. What was the mistake? That we rush to change the country in one step. So what do you expect to do? Oh, they said, we should first cut the age from 17 to 15, and from 15 to 13, and from 13 to 12, and from 12 to 11, and from 11 to 9, and that's how you do it. So they made a mistake, not because they are trying to apply Sharia, Islamic law, on the Egyptian. No, the mistake is they rushed it in overnight.
Well, that was a blessing, though.
Seriously. They did it the stupid Muslim way, or the stupid democratic way, because that's exactly what the Democrats would like to do in America.
Yeah, exactly.
They would like to shape this country, make it so. It took Venezuela, 18, 19, 20 years to move from a rich country to a communist, socialist, poor country. The Democrats would love to do it in the next 2 years, so in 4 years. 18, 20 years in Venezuela, they want to do it in America in 4 years. And maybe that's what waking up.
Yes, that may be the thing that saves us, is people are starting to see this, and they're realizing, Trump said tonight in his rally, they skipped socialism altogether. They've gone straight to communism.
Sure. Yeah. And that shook some of
them. He's right.
I mean, how many people I heard on TV that said, I was Democrat all my life? Not anymore.
Praise God.
I'm glad to hear that. Hopefully, that will be the red wave, which we do not know of, hopefully. All right, let's go now to what the scripture teach about freedom and what the Quran teach about freedom.
Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
And here is what Allah said in the Quran.
Quran 9:5. So when forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as slaves, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give the legal alms, so leave their way free.
Imagine with me.
Great freedom.
The teaching of the Bible of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ go in the opposite direction of the teaching of the Quran, which is given by Muhammad, self-proclaimed prophet of Islam. The opposite. When Jesus came to preach the gospel, which is the good news of eternal life, Muhammad was commanded his followers to kill. The poor, which is, we're not talking about poor physically, poor spiritually, those who acknowledge their need for that gospel. Okay, it's not about poor. You can be a very rich Christian, okay? But he has sent me to bring healing to the brokenhearted. Muhammad broke the hearts of the fathers when he beheaded them, of the mothers and the sisters when he raped them, when he destroyed the Middle East, started by the Saudi Arabia Peninsula to the rest of the 57 Muslim countries in the world today. Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. Muhammad came to bring what? Slavery to the free. Jesus came to open the blind eyes and heal the people and on liberty. Literally, Muhammad came to bring nothing but. Literally, while Jesus was opening the eyes of the blind, Muhammad was breaking the eyes of the sight one. Jesus was healing the hand of the withered people who could not move their hand or later the people who could not walk. They paralyzed. Muhammad was cutting the hands and the legs of the healthy people. While Jesus was raising the dead, Muhammad was killing the living. It is the opposite.
Yes.
So many people believe that Christianity, Islam has the same belief, worship the same God. The Muslims said they believe in Jesus. The Muslims said they believe in Moses. The Muslims said they believe in the Bible. The Muslim is a garbage liar. And everything they said they believe in have nothing to do with what we Christians believe in. Trust me in that. When you hear a Muslim say, I believe in Jesus, say, look him in the eye, say, you believe in Jesus, God Almighty, who came in the flesh, died on the cross, buried, and rose again on the third day? No, we don't believe in any of that garbage you're telling me. Oh, my garbage is my Christianity, and your life is garbage. That's how we should speak the truth in boldness. Why I'm sick and tired of our politicians in America? Because they pretend to be conservative Republicans, but in reality, they cannot tell the Muslims that they are followers of a savage cult. They think if we be nice to the Muslims, they're going to like us. You be nice to the Muslims, they're going to take over your life. They're going to kill you to rape your wife and your daughter. Trust me. Slavery is never taken out of the Quran. It will always be there. As long as there's life, there's always master, the Muslims, and there's always slaves, the non-Muslims. And they're going to see that from Muslims themselves. Okay? So, one more time. Go ahead. In the West, Brother Paul.
From the beginning of the Christian church, Christians freed slaves. During the second and third centuries, many tens of thousands of slaves were freed by people who converted to Christ. 2 years after Emperor Constantine legalized Christianity, he imposed the death penalty on those who sold children to bring them up as slaves.
Imagine with me. There was slavery in the early days of the church. It's not because the Christian taught it, but because that was what people were living with.
It was the custom
was
of the day.
It was not slavery in the days of the Apostle Paul, for the white European were enslaving the black African. No, it was white enslaving white. It was the same people group, but somebody is poor and he was sold. He was taken away. He could not pay his debt. Became owned by somebody. He sold it to somebody, and there was always slavery. Slavery has been in Europe for years. As a matter of fact, slavery was in Egypt. A good 1,500 years before Christ, 7,500 years ago, when my people, the Egyptians, enslaved the Hebrews, as you read about that in the Genesis account. And in Exodus account, that's when it gets so bad, and then Moses came to free to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of slavery. So Egyptians, who are the descendants of Ham, the descendants of the black man, the black father, because we know that Noah has three sons. Ham is the father of the black. Shem is the father of the Jew and the Arab, of course, through Abraham. And Japheth is the father of the white European. Now, the Egyptians are the sons of Mosraim, the son of Ham, black. They enslaved the Hebrew people for 400 years. So when you talk about slavery, what comes to the mind of the American people is white owner on a black, period, stupidity. Because the first black owner of slaves in America was a black man. But in reality, throughout the history of mankind, people always enslave other people. There's nothing to do with color.
That's right.
It's not some black owner white, or white owner white, or white owner black. It is all color, or all different people groups. Slavery, it was always there. But not realize here, what happened when the church grew? They freed their own slaves because they know it is not right. It's like somebody having a problem with alcohol, or somebody have a problem with gambling, or any sin of whatever shape or form, and that somebody became a Christian. You struggle with it to get this addiction out of you, and somehow, with the help of the Holy Spirit, as you pray and cry out to God that Jesus will give you the strength, you stop drinking, you stop smoking, you stop doing whatever is not right. I know some Christians who have been a Christian for 5, 10 years, and they still their mouth say bad words because guess what? It took some of them 5 to 10 years to stop using the F word, because as an unbeliever, he used the F word in every between two words. And they said, God, you stop. I'm struggling with it. But praise God, I'm almost free from it. It's been a year or two when I use the F word. I used to say this, F, that. Literally, between every word, he put those F. Satan was put addiction in his tongue to speak the garbage language. But with hard work, he was able to get free. I believe many Christians free the slavery on their own. There's no addiction there. Because he knew through Christ who forgave them for their sin that their sin can be forgiven to let the sin of slavery to set apart. Slavery is a sin like another sin. So, second, third century, and now these thousands of slaves were free from the people who converted to Christianity. Every person who owned a slave become a Christian. What do you do the next thing? Oh, they sin in my life. Like owning a slave. I have no right to own a slave. Jesus now owned me. I am the servant of Christ. I am a slave of Christ who bought us. Not by some money, gold, or silver, but he purchased us with his precious blood on the cross. Now, 2 years later, after Constantine made Christianity legal, because believe it or not, until Constantine became a Christian, it was illegal to be a Christian. Imagine me, illegal faith, illegal religion, illegal belief, and the people in it were freeing the slaves they owned. Can you imagine? When you practice something illegally and you do what's good in it. And what is good for the illegal Christianity? That I'm a Christian now, I can no longer have a slave. The world looked at the Christian in the second and the third century to be illegal. To do something, they were actually killed for it. While they were looked at as illegal, they were freeing the slaves they owned, because Christ freed them, and in Christ they were able to free the slaves they owned. Now, Constantine came to power, and he became a Christian, and he said, now nobody can kill Christians anymore. Well, guess what? He passed another law, and the law is, oh, you're going to have a slave? Fine, you can have a slave. You can steal children, and you can have a slave. All we're going to do is just want to kill you. A little bit stretch here, you know? The Bible does not teach to kill those who commit sin, but that's how Constantine changed the law in Europe. And how long ago this was? Oh, 1700 years ago, before Muhammad was a gleam in his father's eyes, before Islam started. But Islam came to bring slavery, and Islam still today exists, and slavery still practiced within the Muslim world, within the Muslim believers. All right? So that is concerning in the West. Slavery, historical perspective to Islam in the West. Let's look at a historical perspective in Islam, to slavery in Islam.
Ronald Siegel, in Islam's Black Slaves, stated that, quote, female slaves were required in considerable numbers as singers and dancers, and many were in demand as sexual slaves. The harem of Abd al-Rahman contained over 6,000 women, and in one, Cairo, had twice as many.
Can you imagine that? Mr. Abd al-Rahman had 6,000 women as slaves. And in Egypt, the Khalifa in Egypt had 12,000 slaves. And most of them were women, right? Because they're dancers. Because men like to look at dancing girls. Or because simply they're singers. Or just to sleep with them. Hire them as prostitutes. Which is, by the way, is taught in the Quran, as we're going to read the verses of Allah in the Quran. So when the Muslims were doing that, concerning, this is the historical perspective in Islam, slavery in Islam, you see, they were not doing anything illegal. They were not doing anything wrong. Because some men would say, well, so is in America. Christians do the same thing. No, we talked about that earlier. When a Christian practiced slavery, that means he owned a slave, he was living in sin, equal to Christian lie, equal to Christian commit adultery, equal to Christian whatever sin is. But when a Muslim owned a slave, he's practiced the blessing of Allah on him. Allah blessed the Muslims with what we call what their right hand possessed. It's a gift from Allah. While Constantine will make it a crime which is punishable by death, it's a blessing of Allah to Muhammad and to every Muslim man. You see the difference?
Definitely.
All right. Listen to what Khalifa, the Khalifa in Baghdad, in here, okay, go ahead, Brother Paul, read the slide for us, please.
Islam's Black Slaves also revealed that the castration of male slaves was commonplace in Muslim households. This is the Khalifa in Baghdad, had 7,000 black and 4,000 white eunuchs in his palace.
Notice that, the Khalifa in Baghdad have these 11,000 men. It just happened that 7,000 of them were black. Now, where did this black came from? Oh, they came from the east coast of Africa through the Sahara. As we mentioned before, almost 180 million were taken from Africa to the Muslim world. Why we don't talk about that? And by the way, he also owned 4,000 whites. And he fixed them. So they could not have sex. When they castrated them, now they became just a slave. And the Muslim Khalifa was not worried about these slaves to have sex with the female, the Muslim female. Islam is the religion of men. Men can have sex with more with women, but with unlimited number of women. But Muslim women can only have sex with her husband. So if a man is involved with all of these women, and there's a slave in the house who maybe will play with his wife, oh, let's cut him off, fix him up good, so we don't have to worry about it. This is from the Islamic black slave history, which we know. We know this for a fact, that Muslims own black slaves and Muslims own white slaves, and they castrate them. That's why you don't see black people in the Muslim world. Why? They were taken to war, they fought the battle, they got killed, or they were fixed up good. So when they died, that was the end of it. No children, no grandchildren. Go ahead, brother.
Islamic teachers throughout the centuries have consistently defended slavery. For there must be masters and slaves.
Imagine that was me. For there must be masters and there must be slaves. It is ideology. It is Islamic ideology. It is the word of Allah in the Quran. It is the command of Muhammad in the Hadith. It is the Sunnah of Islam. Master, slaves.
You can find memory.org today, and you can find people from different countries on Memory TV. That's the Middle East Media Research Institute. You'll find people debating, you know, how they can get this place.
It is very simple. And by the way, Brother Paul, I'm not talking about just Muslims own a slave who's an infidel. Muslims in Muhammad days own a slave who are Muslims.
Yeah.
It's very normal for a Muslim believer to have a Muslim slave, a female to sleep with or to start a business with as a prostitute. If you buy her, you own her. If you buy 10 of them, you got a good house of whores. And you can make, it's a business. Allah said in the Quran. And Muhammad practiced in his life. It's the sunnah of Islam. It's the way of life in Islam. So what is the foundation of slavery in Islam? Oh, there must be master and there must be slave. If there's a master, for sure you have a slave. Somebody is going to own somebody. Go ahead, brother.
The preeminent Islamic medieval historian and social thinker Ibn Khaldun wrote, the Negro nations are submissive to slavery because they are quite similar to dumb animals.
Why do you want to say it loud, man? Why can't you say it out loud? It's hard for you as a white Christian to say that. So the Negro nations are submissive to slavery because they are quite similar to dumb animals. Imagine with me if Mr. Donald Trump tomorrow in a big rally will make the statement.
Bye-bye.
Who is standing next to him on the stage? And we're talking about Ibn Khaldun. He is one of the top great social thinkers in the Muslim world. I mean, Trump will be nothing compared to Ibn Khaldun. Trump is just a dumb president, American man. That is a great Muslim thinker. He's a social thinker. He's a historian. Are you following me? I don't know who I can compare him in America with. There's nobody in America can be compared to that. Think about, give me a name, Chris. Give me a name, Paul. Somebody, social, historian.
Aristotle.
Aristotle?
Yeah.
Okay. Think about me. When you compare Aristotle to Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump is just a businessman. He's not a great thinker.
Right, exactly.
He's a smart builder. He's a smart man. Good business. But imagine with me, if some white man tomorrow will read a statement that Negro nations are submissive to slavery because they are quite similar to dumb animals. What is the chance for that someone to be free for the next couple of days?
Uh-oh.
Talking about civil war. Talking about lots of burning all over this country. If you think
Black Lives Matter have a good excuse to burn this country, it will be burned 10 times in 5 minutes. If somebody can meet this. But that is the great Muslim thinker, Ibn Khaldun. Go ahead.
Even as late as the 19th century, it was noted that in Mecca, there are only a few families that do not keep slaves. They all keep slave mistresses in common with their lawful wives.
You know what is the late 19th century is? That is even today,
Paul.
Christy, yeah. Right now in Mecca, the holy city of Mecca and the holy city of Medina, where you and I could not walk in because we're Christians, there are white females from Europe and from America for the Muslim princes to sleep with.
We're talking about late 19th century.
I'm talking about
the late 1800s, yeah.
Brother, in the 21st century.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about, what is tonight? Tonight is 11th, 2022. Right now, there's some Muslim men in Saudi Arabia and in some of these rich countries who are right now having good time with some white American female or white European female.
We've had several stories about this in recent time. We've had women kidnapped who've disappeared. There's been rumors about them being sold into slavery. We had a woman who was killed ultimately by the head of, Baghdadi. And she was an American girl. Trump was trying to get her.
These are jihad sex.
Yeah, but she was there. She was there to be a missionary. Some of these people.
This young lady. Yeah. I remember her name. Yes, indeed. She was a missionary. And he killed her.
Yeah, she ended up being killed. So they're not opposed to being. European women, American women,
And we're going to find out in a minute why. Because the Quran teaches it.
Yeah.
Because Muhammad lived it and commanded in the Hadith. So, this is a little bit shocking news for some people, but that is the reality. This is what's happening in the Muslim world today. Today, okay? Go ahead, brother.
The legends of European slave raiders venturing into the jungles of Africa to capture free peoples are generally just that, myths.
It is a comedy when you hear people talking about, oh, these people of Europe went to Africa and kidnapped these black slaves and they dragged them from the jungles and they brought them to America and took them to Europe. That is dumb. When you hear somebody speak that, that means he or she does not even have a clue what they're talking about. Why? Why? Because in reality, they are... Go ahead.
The slaves were usually sold by their black owners. There was no need for the slave raider to venture into the jungles of Africa. They simply purchased the people from the African chiefs and Muslim slave traders at the coast.
Imagine me. It was a business run by three teams. And there are three equally guilty teams. All right? Who are these three teams?
The disgraceful fact is that there were three equally guilty partners in the horrible crimes of the transatlantic slave trade.
First one is?
Pagan African chiefs.
If there was not the African chiefs who literally captured his own people, hit them on the head with a piece of wood to put them unconscious and dragged them through the jungle to the shore of the West Africa, the West. We call it West North Africa. That's where most slaves were taken, came from Africa to America or to Europe. Three countries in Africa. Just below Mauritania. Okay? So the pagan chief, the African chief, was the guilty number one.
And you got the Muslim Arabs.
Of course. They are the one who owned the ships. And they carry these slaves from the beaches of the Atlantic Ocean of Africa to Europe or to America. And here's the third one.
Europeans.
Equal criminals. Three equal guilty. But if we don't have the pagan African chief they will not have a slave for the Muslim to carry on the ship, will not have a slave for the white to buy. Can we teach that in our Bible schools in America, Paul? Is there any chance
we
can
don't
talk
teach
about
that.
That?
We don't teach that at all.
Why can't
unless
we?
Unless you're a teacher, you know, when I taught social studies, I taught some of this. But no, it doesn't in generally get caught.
Let's ask our students, our kids in our public school. When they brought the black slave in America, how did they brought them here? On a ship.
Good, good.
They never, yeah.
Who was driving, who was the captain of the ship? Who was the owner of the ship? They have no knowledge. They were Muslims. Now, how did the Muslim went to the jungles in Africa and grab these people and put them in bags and drag them to the ship? No, it was their masters, their sheep, the black sheeps. God help us. Why can't we teach some truths in our public schools? Notice when we talked about lies in textbooks, we realized that very important fact, they never talked about it. When it comes to Islam, they ignored it. We're going to visit this again, Lord is willing, to remind you of what we're talking about. Sharia law, or Islamic law, I'm sorry, that's Sharia law here. Sharia, Islamic law, we need to learn Islam before the old law, and slavery. Here is the law. Go ahead, Chris. You can read this, Chris. Give Paul a read.
The Quran clearly states that female slaves can be sexually enjoyed by their masters. Muhammad himself owned many slaves, some of whom he captured in wars of conquest and some that he purchased. Muslim historians record the names of 40 slaves owned by Muhammad.
Imagine with me, guys, imagine with me, that Jesus owned 40 slaves. And Jesus preached that he comes to set people in liberty and freedom. Are you kidding me? Muslim will tell you Muhammad bought slaves to set them free. But when Muhammad died, he still had 40 slaves. He forgot to set them free. He was busy killing the Christians and Jews to add more slaves to the slaves he had. Yeah. You know, the guy is busy killing Christian men and Jewish men to bring their wives and daughters as a slaves, and he just forgot to set them free. I mean, how stupid can you be that a man by the name Muhammad kill Christian men, take their wives to make them free. Free Muslim ladies. Wow. It must be true.
What did they say about that in that presentation from Ikea, whatever her name was, that, there were lots of killing in warfare, so, you know, they had to take these women to take care of them.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
In Muhammad days, there was many warfare.
Yeah.
Dr. Sahar. No.
Yeah.
Dr. Sahar repeat the same words again.
Yeah.
But Ruqayya Abdul-Maksud, Dr. Ruqayya Abdul-Maksud from England, she said, because of their wars and warfare, and many of these were widows, and the men would take care of them. I said, excuse me, to take care of the widows, you have to sleep with them? Man. That's how stupid that woman is. And she's a doctor.
I know.
Doctor of stupidity or doctor of foolishness. All right, so Muhammad had how many? 40 slaves. Now maybe a small number, Paul. So what, Muhammad? If Muhammad had one slave, shame on him. And shame on the Muslims. But he only got 40. And these are females, not men. Muhammad got more than that men slaves. Sharia, Islamic law, and slavery. Go ahead, Paul.
Islamic law, Sharia, contains many elaborate regulations for slavery.
Are you sure about that, Paul? You just mean
Islam? Absolutely.
Okay. Like what?
It's right there in Reliance the Traveler.
Go ahead.
A slave had no right to be heard in court. Testimony was forbidden by slaves.
This, we're talking about Sharia, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Islamic law. So don't you dare tell me that there's no slavery in Islam, because here we go. You're a slave. You have no voice. You cannot go to the Supreme Court of Law. What are you going to say? My master beat the daylight out of me? My master raped my wife? Because in Islam, you can marry by the permission of the master. And if the master allows you to marry your wife, he can have sex with your wife, and it was your daughters whom you're going to have with your wife. Imagine that was me. Muhammad, Unis lady. And he allowed to get married. And you look at her, sweetheart, come to my bed. Yes, sir. I'll be there in a minute. Oh, by the way, bring your little daughter. I want to have sex with your daughter. Sure, Mr. Muhammad. We'll bring my daughter, too. That is Islam. It is what the right hand possesses. وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Allah says in the Quran. Rule number two.
Slaves have no right to property.
Number three.
They could get married only with the permission of their master.
And don't forget, the master have the right to enjoy your wife too. And your daughters in the future, for sure. Number four.
They were considered to be property.
Oh, like a camel? As a matter of fact, a wife in Islam is a property. Imagine that would be a free woman. You buy her by the dowry you give to her when you marry her. And if Islam teaches a wife is property, you don't think slaves not property? Number five.
Owners were specifically entitled by Sharia law to sexually exploit their slaves, including hiring them out as prostitutes.
Imagine that is the law of the United States of America. But that isn't the law of Allah in Islam. We're going to give you the verses to prove it. We're not making this up, okay? We're not making it up. Go ahead, Christy. Tell us about Thomas Jefferson.
What Thomas Jefferson learned from the Quran.
Well, Thomas Jefferson learned from the Quran was that public school will never teach our children. As a matter of fact, most American people are stupid. You do not know who Thomas Jefferson is. We just want to change, take his statue down. Or change the name of the school. If it's called Thomas Jefferson School, change the name. Remove Thomas Jefferson from the history of the American people. No, before you do that, let's learn from what Thomas Jefferson learned from the Quran.
Muslim pirates who operated from along the northern shores of Africa, the Barbary Coast, attacked ships and raided towns in Europe from the 11th century until the early 19th century.
Imagine now with me, Christianity ended slavery in the 2nd to 3rd century, and then Constantine literally ordered the killing of any person who purchased a slave or owned a slave. It was a punishable in Europe by death. And here we go, between the 11th and the 19th centuries, what the Muslims were doing? They were capturing Americans or Europeans who go through the, you can see it on the channel here. People on the radio cannot see that. But when you go in Africa, in the North Africa, between Morocco and Spain, you see the small tiny piece of land there, which is called Jabal Tariq, Mountain of Tariq. Now, when you're coming from Europe, all over Europe, from the Mediterranean Sea to go to the Atlantic Ocean to come all the way to Africa and the left side, guess what? You have to go through this area. And that's where most the Moroccan or the Algerian, and with the help of the Tunisian and the help of the Libyan, this wonderful Muslim country, they were catching our ships, taking our women as slaves and our men as slaves. They fixed our men for sure and take our ships and all the goods. And they were doing that for not for 100 years or 20 years. No! From the 11th to the early 19th, you're talking about 800 years enjoying the European slaves, the white slaves. Africans have been white from Europe as slaves. Muslims have been Christians as slaves. We don't talk about that in our public schools because that would make Muhammad look bad, Paul.
As a young America began growing in terms of marine trade, these Muslim terrorists were a constant threat, and America was forced to pay tribute money to appease the Muslim pirates.
Can you imagine? America is a few years old, and they were giving money to the Moroccans and the Algerian and to the Tunisian and the Libyan just to, The funny thing is they call it then a foreign aid, but in reality, Muslims see it as jizya, tribute tax in submission. They were practicing Quran 929 on us, so they will not attack our ships, kidnap our families, our people, and our goods. Let's continue.
Okay. To discuss the matter, American diplomats met with the ambassador from Tripoli. He asked why Muslims attacked American ships. The ambassador told them, it was written in the Quran that all nations which had not acknowledged Muhammad were sinners, whom it was the right and duty of Muslims to plunder and enslave.
Hello? Maybe we should learn something from our ambassador on Libya, Tripoli, which is the capital of Libya, for all these years.
Yeah.
It's not beach. You're not a Muslim? Okay. Then you have to give us the jizya, Quran 929. If not, we're going to take you, we're going to kidnap you, we're going to plunder you, and we're going to take you as make you slaves. Quran 9.5 we just read. When the forbidden ones are bad, so kill the Palestinians, whatever you find them, and besiege them. And what is besiege them? Take them as slaves. So when the Mohammedans were practicing Quran 9.5 and Quran 9.29 to take our money or to take us as slaves, they were just practicing Muslims.
Islam. President Thomas Jefferson resisted appeasement because he said it only encouraged further piracy. Jefferson decided to learn more about our enemies, so he chose to read the best textbook about all things Muslim. He read the Quran, and it's still there today.
Why Thomas Jefferson read the Quran? Because he wanted to learn about Islam.
Right.
Why our stupid American politicians are not doing anything about Islam? Because they're stupid and they never read the Quran.
Well,
if the Democrats will read the Quran, they'll become conservative Republicans. Can you imagine this is me, Christian Paul? Our Democratic, the Democrats all over this country, Pelosi and others, Shoemaker, the garbage Jew, if these Democrats can read the Quran, I promise you, America will become a conservative Republican state. The whole America. There will not be another Democrat. No. Nancy Pelosi, tell them you're a Muslim. She's still this local senator in the state of California. She was so happy about him being a Muslim. They brag about the garbage Muslims they have in the party. If it's Ilhan Omar or Rashid, or anybody else, and the number will continue to grow. So what happened after that?
In 1805, U.S. Marines landed on the shores of Tripoli, destroying the pirates' headquarters at Dinern, Libya. The new United States Navy reduced the proud pirate capitals to ruin and set them back nearly 1,000 years.
That was the creation of the Marine Corps.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's why we sing it.
Exactly. That's what will come up with our song, The Shore of Tripoli.
That's right.
I guarantee you, some of our dumb teachers in our public school do not even know where is Tripoli on the map. But, you see?
That victory led to a peace treaty that lasted for almost 200 years. Until September 11, 2001, when international Muslim terrorists killed nearly 3,000 Americans. Jefferson's decision to fight was initiated by his studying of Islam's holiest book, the Quran.
Imagine with me. For 200 years, America was doing great. And then we attacked on September 11 by the same Muslims who were kidnapping our people 200 years ago, killing the men or castrating them and taking the women as slaves to sleep with and take the ships and all the goods on it. Same people attacked us on September 11, following the same book, the Quran, And guess what the American people did? Oh, please teach our children about the loving, peaceful Islam. Please become our senator. Please become our congressman and congresswoman. Please become our state attorney. Please become every important one. Let me give you America. And the Democrats will give their wives to the Muslims to sleep with to make them happy. Because they're immoral people. Yes, indeed. Our Democrats in this country are immoral. They want to kill a baby, and they want to burn a church, and they want to get rid of the Constitution. They want to burn the flag. They have no respect for our life. They're un-American. They hate America. And if they can help the Muslims to destroy America, they'll be the first one to do it. Immoral people. And sadly, we don't have any American with guts in the Republican Party to say it openly that you are immoral. Oh, they dislike America. Obama does not like America. Obama hates America, you stupid. And so is his party. And if you're not going to wake up in the next 3 days, you will never wake up again. You'll be in a coma after that. 5 million crossed the border illegally on purpose by Biden and his garbage Kamala Harris. Who never bothered to go to the border to look at it. What a stupid country. I cannot imagine why we have all these people running for office with an H and H 1 point or 2 points or 4 points. It's supposed to be like 85 to 15 for each and every one of these offices. If the American people are educated about Islam and the agenda of the socialists and the communists, the Democrats. But sadly, we don't have the guts to speak it out.
I'm not even sure, Usama, that we know how many people are actually conservative because the media will never promote, will never tell the truth about it. They'll never tell the truth about it. Obama was campaigning in Pennsylvania today. Obama. He was at a high school or something. I mean, he had a small crowd. Trump was there with tens of thousands of people. But the media will not tell you the truth about that. So let's pray.
All this will stop in Tuesday night.
Yeah.
How would I pray this will stop on Tuesday night?
Well, I do
so
too.
Now, let's learn about the Quran, which Mr. Thomas Jefferson learned from, and learn about Islam. That's why he went to war in 205. Sorry, in 1805. Let's learn. Go ahead, Paul. Read the meeting.
He tells us he's a Muslim representing the 5th District of Minnesota. He has been described as a visionary like Jefferson, who believes the wisdom that wisdom could be gleaned from many sources.
Go ahead.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi administers the House oath to Representative Keith Ellison of Capitol Hill in early 2007. His wife holds the Thomas Jefferson Quran provided by the Library of Congress.
Now, did this garbage Pelosi or even Thomas Jefferson, Keith Ellison himself, have they read the Quran? He's a Muslim man from the Nation of Islam who knows nothing about Islam. He's a stupid, useful idiot. I guarantee you, have Nancy or he or his wife read that book, these two booklets, because it's two parts, it's a thick paper, a little bit heavy paper. Have they read the Quran? They would have never allowed him to use it, or he himself will never swear on it. The book which teaches there must be master and there must be slaves. The book which teaches that Muslims are the masters and the stupid Americans are the slaves. That is the book which Muslims have been using lately to run for office. They put their hand on the Quran and they swear to the office, whatever office they get in. What a stupid country.
If
the American people read the Quran and know what's in it, they would not have allowed a Muslim to run for any office. It would be illegal, unconstitutional for a Muslim to run for office in America. Why? Because of their belief in the Quran, which sadly we know nothing about. Go ahead, Chris.
Keith Ellison is now the Attorney General in Minnesota.
And that's where Ilhan Omar took his place.
Yes, and we got somebody worse.
And most likely she's going to win Tuesday night.
You always said, you give an office to a Muslim, it will always belong to a Muslim.
That office will never be taken by a Muslim.
I
go off the ladder.
I don't know.
Let me say that again. Ilhan Omar is going to win Tuesday night.
We'll see.
My curiosity is Keith Ellison going to move on up the ladder, or will he continue to be Attorney General.
Trump will be the President of the United States of America.
I'm sure he'd like to be.
We don't have enough time. We don't have time. Go ahead, read this last slide for the ball.
A visionary like Jefferson? Thomas Jefferson studied the Quran in order to better understand our enemies, not to become a Muslim.
But that's not what Keith Ellison said about him. All right? But what does the Islam teach about slavery? That is what we'll be catching, Lord's willing, next week, because we do not have time. We're going to look at some of the material which we covered in the past from lies in the textbooks to see how much our children are learning about slavery. And then we're going to learn about slavery, Lord's willing, from the Quran, Allah's word, and from the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith. Hopefully, we can finish the study next Saturday, Lord's willing. Any question, any comment?
We have one question. Who inspired Sharia law?
Allah himself.
And you need to fix your slide, Usama, to say Islamic law, Sharia.
I know, I know. It's written years ago. I didn't even realize when I did it. So the truth is, Islamic law, it is a mix between the word of Allah and the word of Muhammad. If it is in the Quran, and if it is in the Hadith, or at least one of the two, it is Islamic law. That's where Muslim people bring their laws from. They don't use any other books or other material. Allah plus Muhammad equals Islamic law.
Any other questions out there? Just type them in.
All right. Come on up with some questions, guys. Don't be shy. We'll do our best to answer them, Lord is willing. And hopefully you will click the like us, whatever it is you call like us, and share this thing, this broadcast with other people. Perhaps other people can watch them.
I recommend sharing this out to educators. And to find social studies teachers, share this out. I recommend finding the starting point to the study and sharing.
You did this in lies in textbooks, I believe.
Yeah, I did. So you can go to Paul.
Okay. Do the same thing.
I'll do the same thing.
Take the first half hour or whatever time we have and count them. Rename the part 1, 2, 3 of slavery.
I'm in the middle of doing that one right now. So yeah.
Good.
Would you want to hear anything? We've got a couple of clips of when Biden was running for office, what he was saying to the Muslims. Sure. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We have several clips there. Yeah. You want to hear them?
We don't have to.
Christy, if you have anything you want to play, give yourself.
Yeah. We got a couple minutes. So.
And I can't thank you enough for all you've done so far, and that's thank you for taking the time for watching today. Look, one of the things I think is important, I wish we taught more in our schools about the Islamic faith. I wish we talked about all the great confessional faiths. It's one of the great confessional faiths. And what people don't realize is one of my avocation is theology, don't realize is that we all come from the same root here in terms of our fundamental basic beliefs. And I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity, for being engaged, for committing to action this November. You're doing what's that's never been done before. You're registering and turning out 1 million Muslim voters this November. It matters. Your voice is your vote. Your vote is your voice. Muslim Americans' voices matter to our communities, to our country, but we all know that your voice hasn't always gotten recognized or represented or the recognition it deserves. And that's your right as a citizen. You know, what you're doing is making a real difference. I mean that.
That's when he was campaigning.
What an idiot. What a stupid idiot.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to hear
There is a new question here.
Oh. Okay.
Was Muhammad always pagan even after he introduced Islam?
Well, think about it. Muhammad worshipped the black stone until he died. I don't know what you call a man kissing a black stone in the shape of a woman's vagina And he's thinking by kissing it, you'll receive forgiveness for your sin. That's part of the faith, part of the belief, part of the ideology. If you are doing that, you don't call that pagan? That is the same stone that we've been worshiping for hundreds of years before Muhammad was born. That is paganism. Rejecting Christ and the truth of the gospel will make you a pagan. Pagan.
Pagan.
My English is so terrible, bad man.
I've seen videos recently, even, you know, you think even post-COVID they might have created something, you know, that would keep something hygienic in that area where they're all trying to fight to kiss the stone.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're actually, I'm not kidding about the fighting. They're pushing each other, trying to get in.
Brother, when people fall as the circle and all the Kaaba, there's always 300-400 people are dead by being crushed by their feet.
Oh, wow.
Every time you see a fall, count hundreds of people are dead. And why is the people fall? Because there's a lot of all folks, as they go in circles, they want to get closer to the Kaaba so they can kiss the rock. If that's not a pagan worship, I don't know what pagans.
It's a good question.
And the Bible is very clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You can kiss the cross Jesus died on. You can go live in the tomb, the church of the resurrection, the rest of your life. And when you die, you go to hell. You know why? Because there is no visit of any object or kissing any object by which you can receive forgiveness of your sin. The only way we can receive forgiveness of our sin is by accepting the salvation which offered to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. End of story. Any other question?
Not this time.
All right. Well, you know what? I can say thank you, Christy, so much for helping us tonight. And thank you, Brother Paul. Thanks for everyone in the chat room, for our moderator. God bless you. And,
well, we can have one more question. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Is Islam the same person as Jesus Christ of the Bible?
That if you're a good Muslim. But if you're a Christian and you read what Allah said about Isa, son of Mary, in the Quran, you find that have nothing to do with Christianity. The name Yeshua is the Arabic language, which is Yeshua, the Hebrew, which means Savior, was never mentioned once in the Quran. And everything Muhammad mentioned in the Quran about Isa, son of Mary, we Christians don't believe in. Everything. I challenge a Muslim. Find me something Allah said in the Quran about Isa is accurate concerning the teaching of the Bible about our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. If you deny the deity of Christ, and you deny the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus do you believe in? That's a comedy. Muhammad was a big, fat liar, and he thought the Muslims lies about Jesus, and lies Muslim lies about Moses, and lies Muslim lies about Abraham, and every name he picked up from the Bible and put it as in a counterfeit in his Quran. Jesus of Muhammad have nothing to do with the Jesus of the Bible.
And that's the end of the questions.
Going twice. Well, our time is up in any way, shape, and form. God bless you guys. Pray for the election. Please, if you have not voted, go vote Monday and Tuesday. Found the time to go and vote because every vote will count. Every vote will count. Mr. O'Biden told the Muslims, that's 1 million votes. It's 1 million votes, and your voice is your vote. And guess what? They did and went and vote for him. And I guarantee you, all the Muslims are going to vote Democrat Tuesday. Go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I was just pointing up that your person, you answered the question. His response was a good answer. Thank you.
You quite right. Welcome. God bless you all.
Yeah,
please
everyone.
Keep this country in your prayer. Vote Tuesday. We'll see you next Saturday. I hope and I pray we have some good show next Saturday or my heart will be broken. God bless you all. And please watch this video. Do not do anything but watch this video. And I hope and I pray that in the end of it, you gave your heart to Jesus. If you are a Christian in name only or if you're a Muslim. All right. God bless you and good night, everybody.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were...
public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it. Because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver. And who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. My friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously. And he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead.
To overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully, and you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, ah, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you in. No follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know? Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
All right, Paul.